Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
No, I'm talking about the team out of Canada that has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup when they begin play in 2021. Here's mine. Are you ready? The Calgary Flames.
Whoa.
How about that?
I know, it hurts. I hate the Calgary Flames. They got Jacob Markstrom, the best goalie in free agency, and the Calgary Flames have learned some very painful, valuable lessons the last two playoff years. They're climbing the mountain. Calgary Flames are Canada's best team. Change my mind.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good morning, Canada and Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the RP Show. Don't mind me. I'm just sharing the show to all the various groups that allow us to do that. And thanks to all of them for that. RP here, Darren Moose DuPont there. Hi, Moose.
Hi.
Have a good weekend.
I had a great weekend.
Of course you did. You were with me for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then your team.
Oh,
honked on Bobo.
You know, it happened. Still a good weekend.
Yes, it was. Still and we're gonna rattle through all of that. Boy, we only got 2 hours here. Could go a lot longer than that. Listen, you're looking at our desk. Don't at me. We've got a new addition that you're going to see in moments. I'm just moving things around. I'm trying to figure out where this Dino's helmet. It's on the end here, Dinos. Don't get mad. I'm just trying to figure out where to fit everybody in here. Everybody's very aware that we've had a lot of gifts lately, and the desk is getting a lot smaller.
That's right.
So, anyways, coming up on the program today, it's exciting. It's timely. John Forslund, one of the top announcers from the NHL on NBC. Just this morning, they announced their broadcast crews for this season, and he's in the top two crews, I think, two or three crews. John Forslund, and he's the regular announcer of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's going to be with us. TSN's Darren Dreger and Saskatchewan Roughriders linebacker Nakus Onyeka, formerly of the Toronto Argonauts. His business people kind of set this interview up. I'm not entirely clear on what we're going to talk about. We'll figure it out when Nakus joins us. People are noticing my new bunny hug, too. It's all part of the Quick Six Show Topics. So are you ready, Jordan? Let's hit it. Quick Six Show Topics, please. Thank you. Well, obviously, NFL Super Wild Card Weekend Wrap. Point one is the Saturday games. And we've got a whole show to get through these, okay? And the thoughts, and your thoughts. The Bills beat the Colts 27-24 in the first game. Not a real surprise. They were favored by 3.5.
6.5.
Was it 6.5?
Yeah.
And they won by 3.
Yeah.
The Rams stunned Seattle 30-20. Can you believe that wasn't the biggest stunner of the weekend?
I know.
At the time, it seemed like it was, but it wasn't. The LA Rams upset the Seahawks in Seattle 30-20. And then the night game, not a big shock. Tampa Bay beating Washington 31-23 in a shockingly surprising game. Did you watch that once we got home?
Yeah. Absolutely. Every time, and I'd leave the room once in a while. Every time I came back in, Tom was throwing another touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
I had my TB12 red hoodie on.
Saw that.
It was wonderful.
The Bucks were rolling.
They were.
And they're going to roll into next weekend with a huge matchup against Drew Brees and the Saints. But anyways, point two, Sunday's wild card games. I'll give you 45 seconds to talk about your Titans losing to Baltimore 20-13. I thought the Titans had it in hand, man.
They should have. And I don't need 45 seconds. They didn't have a plan B. You know, the Ravens, as any team would do, put all their eggs in the "we're going to stop Derrick Henry" basket. And it worked, right?
Yeah. And 40 yards?
Yeah, and there was no plan B. There was no plan B. And on defense, I thought the Titans played very well, except, you know, the 48-yard touchdown run for Lamar. A couple of times he broke free. That they played really well. They limited him to 20 points. The offense, top scoring offense in the NFL during the regular season, could only put up 13.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Getting through the quick six here. New Orleans beat Chicago 21-9. And for whatever reason, of the six games, that was the one I was least interested in. Apologies to Henry Burris. That's when my wife and I dabbled over to Netflix and Yellowstone for a while. I wasn't going to watch 18 hours of football. Are you kidding? And then the night game, Yellowstone carried over into the first quarter of the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. Like, it was over by the five-minute mark of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Well, not really. I mean, the Browns jumped out to a 28-0 lead. You all know The Cleveland Browns, who didn't have a head coach, who didn't practice all week until Friday, and then jumped on a plane and went to Pittsburgh, kicked the crap out of the Steelers, the final 48-37. I'm watching ESPN this morning, and the analysts, the NFL guys are saying, we still have no idea how they won the game. No idea, other than they bullied the Steelers in the trenches, and Pittsburgh turned the ball over four times by halftime. So that was the shocker of the weekend. So we'll get through all of that as the program goes along, but I do got to move because we got a lot to get to. Point three, a CFL note on a weekend. Zach Caleros took a $40,000 pay cut, according to 3downnation.com. This is, if I read it correctly, Zach Caleros and the Blue Bombers agreeing to a restructured deal from $450,000 per season for 2021 down to $410,000. And Zach, who's being heralded by Bomber GM Kyle Walters and the Bomber Nation for what a great guy for taking a $40,000 pay cut. And he is. I wouldn't want to take a $40,000 pay cut.
No.
So that's great. And we move on and hope for a season. Point four, tonight, the college football natty. The national championship, the Alabama Crimson Tide against the OSU Buckeyes at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Of course you're going to be watching. I don't know if you people have a rooting interest or really care who wins. I got a good, well, a friend. It's not as good a friend anymore just because we've drifted apart. But Steve Sarkisian's the offensive coordinator of the Crimson Tide. It's his last game ever for Alabama tonight because after tonight he's going to Texas to take over the Longhorns. Vaunted program there. Do you have a rooting interest tonight? Like you cheering for somebody?
Yeah, I think Ohio State. I think they're both kind of the big bad, you know, boys on the block, and you kind of like the David versus Goliath story. I think we're done with Alabama. I think that's why we go to OSU, and I think there'll be a lot of interest to see what Justin Fields does on the big stage.
That's the question tonight. Yeah. Alabama's favored by 7.5 points. You can lay it down with Come On Official, by the way, agree or disagree. Point five, bulletin board material. That really goes back to points one and two. All the jaw-jacking over the weekend. Juju Smith-Schuster of the Steelers saying Cleveland's still the same old Cleveland. What do they call them? Pasty-faced something like that? Like yeah. The same old Browns. You got Chase Young, the rookie DN for the Redskins, saying he's going to be coming after Tom Brady Saturday night. Did he play?
Right.
They didn't even notice him.
I know.
Then Tom smiled, and it fired him up. What was there? There was a third. Well, logo gate.
Yep.
You know, with the Titans logo being pranced upon by the Ravens. And we remember, people were like, Rod, don't you remember when it happened back in the regular season? We talked about it. Yeah. Your team went into Baltimore before the game and did the very same thing.
Yeah.
Pranced on the Ravens logo. It's juvenile when you think about it, but as Corey Chamberlain would say, that's football.
It's football. And that's why I tweeted, you know, before any of the, like before the game, and it had nothing to do with, I wasn't even thinking about logo gate. I had forgot about it. But when I tweeted and it got some traction that I love pregame trash talk, I hate postgame trash talk. Because when you put them on the table and dance on the Baltimore Ravens logo pregame, now they have an opportunity to slap you in the mouth for it on the field. But after the game, it's disrespectful, distasteful. And it's kind of, you know, poor sportsmanship. Before the game, it's kind of like, you know, building the anticipation.
Yep.
That's why UFC fighters trash talk before the game and always, always, always shake hands afterwards. Always.
Very good point. Luches Purifoy of the Saskatchewan Roughriders is watching in Florida right now. Hey, Luch! Happy New Year. He says Ohio State. What are you talking about, Ohio State? Are you kidding me? You're getting me fired up here. Micah always watching from Texas. What's Micah got to say? Happy belated birthday, by the way. To Luch. Okay. The boys are getting fired up about the game tonight, as am I. But here's the thing with bulletin board material, if I can just get into story time for a second. And it's our poll question today on both Twitter and Instagram. Do you believe in bulletin board material? I'd like to say no. Don Matthews always said, the Don, who retired as the winningest coach in CFL history, if you need bulletin board material or some guy to say something to fire you up for Sunday, then you've been cheating me the other 17 games. Then you're not giving me 100%. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Don, but you can't manufacture that anger, that blood-boiling feeling that you get when some guy disrespects you. And that's what the Ravens were saying. The Titans disrespected us that night, and they hadn't forgotten. And I remember when Dennis Skultzky, the president of the BC Lions, said to Corey Chamberlain, he guaranteed a win against the Riders. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? It was the funniest thing ever. We all knew what was going on with the Rough Riders. Corey Chamberlain took Skulski's face, photocopied it a million times, well, 40 times, and put it up all over the locker room in BC Play Stadium in the Rider visitors' locker room. Before the game, Chamberlain's meeting with the media, and they're saying, did Dennis Skulski, the president of the Lions, guaranteeing a win, fire your team up? Chamberlain's like, no. Not a weird to play a football game. Did he say that? All the while, he's got the quote highlighted, right? And plastered all over the locker room. And the Riders went out and kicked their ass with Tino Sinceri. And he didn't beat anybody. So don't tell me.
Yes.
The answer is bulletin board material works, but they'd like to say that it doesn't.
Absolutely.
Right? It shouldn't.
Absolutely.
But it does.
And I don't know how long that works. You know, it's like the cortisone shot, right?
Yeah.
You know, it does wear off, you know, when you run out of the tunnel, but you got to constantly keep finding ways to motivate and keep people engaged. And I think, you know, that extra shot in the arm, I mean, you come out with that juice, right? It means something. It matters. You have to have an interest, a vested interest in wanting to beat the other team. And if that gets it out of them, yeah, it works. But they don't want to say
But it's just like the coaches can't lock it down. It's like, do you think that Mike Vrabel, I don't think he knew his players were going out to trample on the logo before the game. That doesn't seem like a Vrabel kind of thing.
It's not.
No. So the coaches, when the players are jaw-jacking in those pregame interviews or now even on social media, TikTok, wasn't that where
Juju, yeah.
Yeah. They can't control everything. And you want to know why the players and teams want to lock down players' social media. This is why. But they can't.
They can't.
Right? So it's like, why did you have to go and say that? Moving on, just checking in with our guys. Micah Awe. Ah, thank you, Rod Peterson Show. Also, I'm cheering for defense tonight. Whoever makes the most plays on defense will win. Over-under tonight, 90? I don't know what it is. My guess is probably 90. What's the over-under tonight on this college national championship game?
I'll check it out on Come On and see what they have it at.
0.6. Just some hockey notes. I've split it in two. NHL notes / WHL return to play. The Dallas Stars' start of their season has been delayed because of a COVID outbreak there with the Stars. And then the Vancouver Canucks canceled their workouts yesterday because of a threat, COVID threat. So NHL, it'll be a little shaky off the start, but they'll get off the ground, I believe, similar to Major League Baseball and NFL. Shaky off the start. They figured it out. Everybody's writing in 75. Take the over, man. Take the over all day. I also said take Pittsburgh to win last night. How'd that work out?
I know.
Don't!
That's betting.
Just a couple things. We went to Saskatoon. People are writing in about this bunny hug that I'm wearing right now. It's an interesting story. Here's our day on Saturday. We went up and had meetings with a lot of stakeholders with the Rod Peterson Show. We want to increase our footprint in Saskatoon because we've got so many viewers and sponsors up there. We want to spend some time there. Can you throw up the photos, Clark? So we rolled by Husky Stadium, and this is the head coach, Canadian Football Hall of Famer Scott Flory. Came out with a lid. And just so you know, it's real. And he had given us a green one some time ago, but this is a green wall behind us, and it didn't show up on the set. So we have this, and that's why I've been rearranging the set. I don't know exactly. For now, the Husky helmet's going there for today.
Oh, it looks good.
Well, the Rams don't agree. So we'll figure that out. Then we rolled to the Blade store, and I have had this yellow Blades bunny hug in my sights for quite some time. And I said to Darren, but you're the Blades guy. I'm the Pats guy and the Raiders alum, and I'm dabbling with the Warriors. How can I be the Blades guy now? And Dupes was like, do you really like the bunny hug? I'm like, I love it so much. He's like, then buy it and wear it. Who cares? Who's the Pats guy or the Blades guy?
Right.
They got some really nice. I've never really liked the Saskatoon Blades, but I love their colors.
Yeah.
So, and then these are some hockey cards. You can flip to the next photo. This is Ken Cheveldayoff, the brother of Winnipeg Jets on the right, general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff. His brother Ken is a former Huskies lineman, and he is MLA for Saskatoon. Is it Greystone?
I think.
MLA. So he came and met us for coffee, had to make sure we had all our masks. So we got a lot of business done in Saskatoon in just a few hours.
Look at that picture of Ken. Look, he's leaning away from us, right?
He wanted to be 6 feet.
Yeah, we were. I mean, we were all following the rules, masks and everything. But we're at, when you're at the table, you can have your coffee and stuff. But for the photo, yeah. And so he's in that photo. It's funny. He's leaning away.
So just to bring it all back in, Stephen Numedal watching in Prince Albert says, "You're the dub guy." And I'm like, you know what? I will take that, and I will take that with honor, and everybody knows that, so I'll wear the gear. I like the gear. Didn't the Wheat Kings threaten to send us a pullover and quarter zip? Still waiting on it. So I love this, and we just had a great time in Saskatoon. So where do we go from here on all this? This is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. I guess let me just say this. John Kirby says he's got mixed reactions to the WHL news. And that was my point six. They announced on Friday a 24-game minimum return to play for the Western Hockey League. There's more than meets the eye. There's a ton more than meets the eye. And I think the teams lose sight of something, Darren, and that is that the fans, as soon as they hear this, the fans have a million questions. And the teams in the league are like, can you just hold on? Because there's really no details come out. And then Jeff Merrick on Saturday, who's become the go-to for WHL news, haven't quite figured that one out, but it's fine. He puts out 5 points. Weekends only, potential hub cities, late February start. So at least it's coming from somewhere. At least they're putting the info out from somebody.
Right.
But the league isn't at liberty to say. One of my family members said to me, I love that they're coming back, but this plan looks a little shaky. If the Dallas Stars can't pull it off, man, how are the Brandon Wheat Kings.
I know. End of February, though, makes sense. Gives you time for the cases to come down, for more vaccines to roll out, all of those things. But let's remember, you know, there's a lot of talk on social media about 24 games. Why play? It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, when it comes to the Western Hockey League, I don't think there's... The championship doesn't really matter. I mean, it does to us, but... What matters is having these prospects being on display for the NHL. They want to have a draft in June or July, right? And draft players. They need to be able to see them on the ice and see how they've developed. So it's important to make sure that they play. That's why there's an effort to make the Western Hockey League a go and the entire Canadian Hockey League.
So they drop the news, but very little of the info behind it. Yeah. And that's their right to do that, but we came out of the weekend with more questions than answers. Scott Henberry watching from Great Western in Saskatoon. He says, Scott, he says, great hoodie, Rod. Here at Great Western, we cheer for all Saskatchewan dub teams. Clark Campbell says, would you wear Swift Current Broncos gear? We have championship gear for you. Well, of course I would wear it. Are you kidding me? So my point is, yes, we cheer for all the dub teams too, but we're just trying to reasonably split them up between the two of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And Clark and Rod, all the staff are big dub fans here. Jordan, he only cheers for the Pats. That's it.
That's right. He's the only one with integrity.
That's right. That can't be bought.
Exactly.
Is Nackus ready? Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. This has been the warm-up. We're just getting rolling. It's the RP Show. YouTube Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome everybody. Coming in hot here on this Monday. You see the new Huskies helmet adorning the desk. Just don't, I know it's all in disarray. I'm just trying to sort it out as we go. You've caught us mid-reno. Okay?
Yeah.
You get it.
Don't mind the mess.
Yeah, don't mind the mess, please. Just come on into our house. And that includes Nackus Onyeka, who it's been far too long since we've had him on the air. Number 41, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, joins us from the GTA. Happy New Year, Nack. How you doing?
Happy New Year's, Rod. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm excited to talk about the new venture that you have. We'll get to that a little later on in the interview. I'm more interested in your take on tonight's national championship game, Alabama-OSU. I got the Crimson Tide. I'll go by 8 to 10 points. What are you thinking? I know you're going to be watching that game out of Miami.
Roll Tide, roll Tide.
There we go.
I think Alabama definitely has the edge today, offensively. I really can't see Saban not getting those guys ready to play. I do like OSU. I do think that Justin Fields is a dynamic quarterback, but I am going with Bama tonight.
What will tip the tide in your mind tonight? Are you expecting a high scoring affair? By the way, I guessed it would be at over under of 90. Turns out it's 75. That's still a heck of a lot of points.
I do think that over 75 probably will get over. I think the thing that's really going to change or limit OSU is that I do think Alabama is going to have a good enough run defense today. Whereas I don't think OSU is going to be able to keep up with Najee Harris on their side.
Outstanding. Okay, so questions are coming in for you, Nakus. As a matter of fact, I'll lead off with this. Jamie Neugebauer, he's the voice of the Notre Dame Hounds. He's a hockey guy, but he says, can you ask Nakus, as a fellow Laurier alum, what his order at Wilf's was? I was a tossed chicken fingers and fries guy. Is that the legendary restaurant on campus at Wilfrid Laurier?
Yeah. Wow, that's a throwback. Thank you for that. My order at Wilf's, I actually had a chicken wing sauce named after me at Wilf's. So every single time I went there, I'd get that to toot my own horn a little bit. But I definitely want the wings on Thursday. 70-cent wings on Thursdays as a student. There's no deal better than a deal. So the 70-cent wings for sure.
What was the sauce? What did they call it? And what was it? Was it like a buffalo ranch? Was it a honey mustard? Was it a, like, we're big wing people here. How would you describe it?
The sauce itself was called Nakus's secret sauce, funny enough. It was a mix between hot and a honey garlic with a little bit of sweet and tangy.
Do they still sell it, by the way, or did it go away when you left campus?
Listen, I trademarked the name, so as soon as I left, it was gone.
Nakus's secret sauce, gone. Interesting comment here, Jeff the Stamps fan. Personally, tonight's national championship doesn't excite me all that much. Well, Jeff, we'll be watching it. We'll tell you about it tomorrow. You go watch Netflix. I guess you're not a football fan. Nakus, your thoughts on the CFL in 2021? I've been talking to some players. They're not saying a whole lot. Maybe they don't know a whole lot. What's your take on where the CFL sits today?
I definitely feel I'm more optimistic than probably this point last year. I do think with the number of guys getting guaranteed money up front is definitely a turn in the right direction. Obviously, from the player standpoint, there's still questions that we have answers to that hopefully we will be getting answers to soon rather than later. But I do feel like I am optimistic.
Well, you know, I think it was the last time we had you on was before they pulled the plug on the season. Your excitement was palpable coming out of the screen to come play for Canada's team right at Mosaic Stadium. What a gut punch. You're obviously over that, right? Feeling better about things?
Definitely, definitely. I think the biggest thing for me is I am excited to play. I am excited to visit Regina and call Regina my home. As you said, it is Canada's team. Like, as far as where I was and where I am, I think the optimism kind of leads the way for why not only my feelings have changed, but a number of different players' feelings have changed in regards to the potential season.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you what, bring that wing sauce recipe with you, and we'll take you to some local restaurants, and we'll get that rolling,
we'll
too.
Shop it around.
We'll shop it around to the highest wing bidder. I'm thinking Ballers Rec Room, the Tap, where the Riders hang out. I think that's where Cody took all the quarterbacks for one night of gaming at Ballers. Just your take on the NFL playoffs, by the way. Nakus, do you have a favorite team? It was a fun weekend. How's your team doing?
I was a lifelong Ravens fan growing up, so seeing Lamar and those guys get that monkey off their back was definitely exciting to see. I do think they have a tough matchup with the Bills, but I do feel their strengths align with Buffalo's weaknesses. So it's more of a toss-up game than saying the Bills are the better team, so they're going to win. I do like the Packers coming out of the NFC. And I do like, surprisingly, I do think Tampa gets it done this weekend versus the Saints.
Ah, I would think so, too. But, Nakus, I got to ask you this. How would you have tried to defend Lamar? Like, call me crazy, Darren, but it appeared that they had two spies on Lamar and still couldn't contain him. How would you have tried to stop this guy?
Man, if I had the answers, I would be I'd be an NFL defensive coordinator. I definitely think that it's hard. I don't think you can sit back and only send four or five. I think with a mobile quarterback, you got to send five, six, sometimes maybe even seven. But you can't let somebody like that stand in the pocket and then pick and choose when he gets to decide to run down the field, right? So definitely the more pressure you do send, the better. Play a little bit of zone behind that just so you have all eyes on him. I think a lot of the troubles that teams do face is that they do play a lot of man in the back end, and then all their DBs or linebackers have their backs turned, right? So then when those throwing lanes or those running lanes do kind of come up, it's easy for him to step up and pick up 45 or 55 on the ground.
That was unbelievable. And he covered it in a hurry. Nackus, last one. So this interview was kind of set up by your former Argo peeps. Obviously, you're still feeling, you're getting along great with those guys. Obviously, the guys in the front office of the Argos, they said, you got to get Nackus on to talk about his latest venture. So why don't you tell us about it? Sounds very intriguing.
Yeah. First, I want to give a huge shout out to Chris Bulanovich. He's one who really set this up. He's worked with MLSC and the Argos specifically for a number of years now. So I appreciate him. As far as the project that me and a few colleagues are working on, we've developed a social media platform geared directly towards the sports betting market. The platform itself is multifaceted in a way that it's not only a social media platform, but also provides analytics, stats, advanced patterns to better inform all bettors before they actually place a bet. The way that we kind of look at it is the Facebook or the Twitter of the sports betting world. So it's a place where you can go on, socialize, pick people's brains, interact with your favorite handicappers, your favorite social media users, kind of delve into their brain on why they feel like they want to go a certain way before they bet. And then obviously you have the stats and analytics to kind of back it up.
How'd you get involved with this, Nackus?
A few friends of mine and I were actually tired of losing money a few years ago. So we thought, what better way to kind of go about things than develop our own platform where we can ask other users what they think, and then as well as provide analytics and stats to kind of fortify the reason that we're thinking a certain way.
I love it. So it's available in app stores now. How would you suggest people go about downloading it and getting rolling?
No, we're doing a beta launch this coming spring for the MLB season. To pre-register for our app, you have to visit www.betterapp.ca, and you're going to be put on a short list. Our list right now is about 500 people that we're capping it at, and it's almost at the brim. We're going to be rolling that out for the first 3 to 4 months of baseball season. And then we're actually going to be releasing our final version of our app for the 2021 NFL season.
That is betterapp.ca. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sounds good, Nackus. Well, we're all over it. And hopefully by the end of the day, you've hit your cap on that with our viewers. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I kind of want to pick your guys' brains. What do you guys think about not only the CFL season, but the NFL season kind of winding down in the playoffs, and then touch a little bit on what you guys have heard on the CFL season?
Well, you know what? It's interesting you say that. Are you Facebook friends with David Benefield?
I don't think I am, no.
You should be. Mr. Furious. Formerly of the CBC panel, Grey Cup champion with the BC Lions, and a guy who played at Cal State Northridge. He's a San Francisco guy, lives in Vancouver. He's got some very strong thoughts on what the CFL needs coming back from a PR marketing perspective. He posted that yesterday, and then a bunch of former CFLers chimed in. One thing I think is the CFL isn't really interested in being told how to do things. So they're a little like these other leagues, right? They've said we're playing, but they have not divulged any details, and it's not on them to do that. They don't have to do that.
That's right.
Right? So, but everywhere we went all weekend long, it was, is the CFL going to play? Is the CFL going to play? Is U Sports going to play? Is this league going to play? Right? And it's, I guess my thing is, it's hard, Nackus, to make a prediction or a statement when you don't have all the facts. and we don't have all the facts. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it, too. I mean, but I think we just want open communication, right? Open dialogue. So we know if you have the facts or if you don't, or where you hope things are going, right? But yeah, if you don't have the information, you're not at liberty to try and to tell people something that's not happening.
Yeah. And the other thing, by the way, just this morning, I mentioned it earlier, watching ESPN Get Up. They were talking about Ben Roethlisberger. He's $41.5 million next year to the cap, and the NFL salary cap's expected to go down. We'd already heard that for the NHL, that it was going to be flat, right? So the revenues aren't going to be there. We're starting to hear these things now, because for even the biggest league on the planet, as far as we are concerned, for American football is the NFL, and their salary is going to go down. So you guys in the CFL that are feeling the pinch, you're not the only ones.
For sure. I do think that's something that's going to be – I think free agency is going to be really interesting with a lot of the teams kind of feeling the brunt of the pinch. I think the players are obviously going to be the most affected, right? So it's going to be interesting to kind of see a lot of players take pay cuts kind of going forward, and then how teams manage to swerve the salary cap.
Well, if the teams – would allow you guys to build your brands and work with you on building your brands and helping you off the field, I think everybody wins. And I don't know where you guys are on that. That's not my thing. But obviously, New World Agency, your rep firm, thinks a lot about you. And, you know, you got a head start, Nakas. You're always going to be fine. But there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done for this league to get back. I'm calling it the relief effort.
Yeah.
The recovery effort, and I'm just not sure that it started yet. But Nakas, we'll let you go. We're going to move Darren Dreger in. I appreciate this. Good luck with betterapp.ca, and stay in touch, my friend. You're a must-follow on Twitter, by the way, folks. Nakas, at Nakas _. Keep it up.
Thank you, Rod. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Well-spoken young gentleman there.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Wilfrid Laurier, Argos alum, and now linebacker for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll take a timeout, and when we come back, sports update and TSN NHL insider Darren Dreger. All your NHL questions will be answered next. We're just getting rolling on this Monday morning get-together. Thanks for joining us for coffee on the RP Show. You're watching on YouTube Live, Twitter Live, Facebook, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Is Darren Dreger ready? He is. Okay. I was going to get to the Prairie Mobile text comments, but I will later. Just tell you, you can write us at 306-840-8777. Jamie in Halifax is watching, and he says, friendly reminder, all players must be on waivers today. Taxi squads will be finalized Tuesday. He's talking about the NHL, and as we bring in our good friend Darren Dreger, and I say, well, I feel like I see you every day, Dregs. I haven't seen you for some time. I see you on TV every day. Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year, Rod.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the taxi squads and all that in a second. I sure enjoyed the photo of the coyote just outside your backyard. Was that unnerving for you?
Nah, come on, man. We're Western Canadian, right? It's not the first time I've seen a coyote. But I do take, you know, I'm not making light of it here, okay? But we get coyote warnings in this part of Ontario probably a half a dozen times over the course of a winter. And it's not like they're going to pack attack people. You know, it's always, you know, make sure you got your pets, you know, looked after and in a fence and all of those things. I'm not worried about my pet. I've got a 135-pound Great Dane who had one look out the window at the coyote. It was like 7:15 in the morning. And she literally went, and, no need to worry about that. And she jumped back into bed, and I got the camera out and started taking pictures. So it's not a big deal here.
Okay, gotcha. Good. Good to hear. Good to hear. Sounds like a good, tough, sasky Great Dane. But it was just on the other side of Darren's fence, folks. Follow Darren Dreger on Instagram. You'll see it for yourself. So to the business at hand, those taxi squads, it's interesting. So you got 23-man rosters plus the taxi squad. Can you talk about – we're going to be hearing that term a lot, I think, Dregs, over this season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a backup plan, right? I don't think that anyone is naive enough throughout the National Hockey League, starting with the commissioner's office through the 31 clubs, to expect that COVID-19 is just magically going to disappear. I mean, that would be a godsend, but that's not reality. So there had to be a way to expand the rosters, and they've done that. And you can go anywhere from 4 to 6 players on that taxi squad. But to get to the taxi squad, you have to clear waivers. And so as you were teeing up the segment, Rod, I'm thinking about the myriad of possibilities. I think today and certainly tomorrow, the cast of players who are going to be on waivers is going to be fascinating. I'm not saying for certain that somebody like Corey Perry, who I absolutely love and I've enjoyed his career all the way through, is most definitely going to be on the Montreal Canadiens taxi squad. But in my insider brain, I'm thinking of, well, if that's the role that the Habs see him playing, you know, they've got to put him on waivers. Will Corey Perry clear waivers? And I don't think he will. I don't think he will. Based on the amount he's being paid, $750,000, I think that there would be a team in the NHL that would say, okay, I like the DNA of Corey Perry. I like the fact he's a playoff performer. You know, we have room for that type of character. So I use him because I'm fascinated by what might happen, because I do believe that was the intent of the Montreal Canadiens, was to have a player like Corey Perry on their taxi squad. But he's got to get to that taxi squad first, and there'll be others that are just as intriguing, I'm sure.
For sure. And I saw he scored against Carey Price last night in the intra-squad game for Montreal. Yeah. But from what I hear, and you're talking to more NHL people than I am, but the few that I am, it's we'll get the NHL going, and then we'll get the AHL going, and then we'll get the Western Hockey League going all in a six. They got it all planned out. I mean, it looks willy-nilly from the outside. It's very clearly not. So is it once these taxi squads are determined, then they move to the AHL as their focus? Is that what you're hearing?
I think they want to get the National Hockey League rolling on Wednesday first. And then you're right. You know, look at the different levels of the design of the league and how the teams are going to push forward, maybe in the first few days. But the American Hockey League is a key developmental league for every NHL club, obviously. Now, we know that there are a few that have opted out, independent teams that just financially can't make it work without fans in the building. But if there is no American Hockey League, then you got to wonder about, okay, well, what happens to the development strategies of these NHL clubs? And I know that, as you allude to, Rod, the Western Hockey League put out a release late last week or on the weekend saying that they plan to play a 24-game schedule. But what was noted in that statement was, as soon as they get sign-off from the provincial health authorities. Well, there's no guarantee that they're getting sign-off from the provincial health authorities, and that applies here in Ontario as well. Ontario isn't as bold as the Western League. Dave Branch, the commissioner, is not issuing any statements yet. But there again, you're talking about the layers of development for these NHL teams. If there is no AHL in Ontario, you know, what happens to Cole Perfetti, drafted 10th overall by the Winnipeg Jets? He came back from Edmonton in the World Juniors back into Whitby, Ontario, spent a bit of time with his family. Now he's back in Winnipeg, and he's in his seven-day quarantine. But if there's no Saginaw in the Ontario Hockey League this year, you know, what do the Winnipeg Jets do with Cole Perfetti? So there's lots of reason why these NHL teams are concerned, not only about the American League, but about the major junior leagues as well.
It's a double-edged sword, Dregs, because they make just a little announcement, 24 games, and fans just go nuts. They're like, are fans going to be there? What are the playoffs? Are they going to head out of a Memorial Cup, right? And the leagues are just going, can you just hang on? I mean, you want the interest, yet it's kind of a pain for the leagues, right?
Yeah, it 100% is. And, you know, I can't imagine that fans are going to be allowed anytime soon in Canada. I mean, we know that that's not an option for the National Hockey League, so why would it be an option for Major Junior Hockey or the BC Junior League or any of the other junior leagues across the country? I'm okay with what the Western League did, and I can appreciate and understand, you know, why they would want to keep that league relevant. I mean, it is a huge feeder system to the National Hockey League. You know, so is the Ontario League, so is the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. I guess if I were in a marketing position with any of those leagues, I'd do pretty much what the Western League did. Give the fans some form of appetite. But the fans are still going to be the fans. And if they can't get in the building, then are all of these games going to be televised? And how are they doing that? Is it the My Hockey format that they have here in Ontario that's going to cover all of these major junior games? So there's a lot of logistical hurdles that have to be overcome before any of this flies.
Bingo. Sounds like you were in our morning meeting, like you were sitting right over there on the couch, because that's exactly what we were talking about. But lastly, Dregs, we did talk about this Canadian division, and let's not forget Bill Foley spilled the beans way back in the fall that this is going to happen. And now here we are. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. But my brother-in-law said this will get boring, and he's a hockey fan. I'm like, I don't think it'll get boring. What do you think about the Scotia division?
No, I don't know. I think your brother-in-law needs to focus on something else if he's bored by what we're about to see. I think it's going to be terrific. I really, truly do. You know, we invent rivalries because rivalries are supposed to be age old. But who's kidding who? I mean, the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins play each other in healthier times. It's not the same as it was 30 years ago. It just isn't. But I think Calgary-Edmonton playing each other as many times as they're going to play each other is going to get really, really interesting. And especially when you look at how they've devised the schedules, right? What do you think Game 3, Rod, is going to look like? If you're a team that's maybe taking it on the chin in Game 1 or Game 2, you've lost the first two games of that three-game set, and you're playing three games back-to-back-to-back, and now you're starting to look at the standings and you're pissed off because you realize in a 56-game schedule, you can't have a three-game losing skid. And maybe it's the battle of the Tkachuk brothers, you know, Calgary and Ottawa, and Brady has been a pain in the arse of the Calgary Flames, and likewise for Matthew. By the time you get to Game 3, it's not going to be a dud. It's going to be fiery playoff environment type of hockey. So I love it. I'm very much looking forward to it starting on Wednesday, but I want 1 year of it. I want one shortened season of it, and then hopefully the world is a healthier place and we can go back to the way things once were and back to the divisions and all of that.
Well, I love it, and I get why. I'd love it forever. I would love it forever. But just my last question, and I'm sorry to keep you so long. Yeah. This is just so much fun.
No,
you cut... Well, you cut your NHL teeth in Winnipeg. I'd be right in saying that, right? So I'm just looking at the Jets and this Canadian rival, this division. They don't really have a rival. And how, other than geographics, how do you build up a rivalry? Playing them in the playoffs all the time, right? And they don't really have that. Like, who's the Jets' historic rival, Dregs?
I know. I mean, historic it would be, and it's not even a rivalry, but, you know, the Winnipeg Jets used to have good teams, and then they'd end up playing the mighty Edmonton Oilers in round one of the playoffs, and they'd get bounced every year by Wayne Gretzky and company. So, yeah, you're right. You know, geographically, I suppose it should be the Minnesota Wild, shouldn't it, in terms of proximity, but it's not really. I'll tell you, I'll give you one storyline, Rod, and I know you got to go here.
No, that's good.
I'm going to be intrigued by the number of injuries that we're going to see out of the gate. And, you know, the nagging stuff, like the groin pulls and the muscle strains and all of that. You mentioned the Winnipeg Jets. So the Winnipeg Jets open on Thursday, and then they play a span of five games in 7 nights. Five games in 7 nights. And the rest of the Canadian division play four in 6 nights. I mean, these guys haven't had any preseason games. They've had a shortened training camp. I mean, they're playing intra-squad or scrimmages, but that's exactly what they are. They're not, you know, NHL-quality games. I think we're going to see a slew of injuries. Here's hoping we don't, but I guess it beats COVID, so that's looking at the bright side of things.
Well, you know, we've had these chats with you, but the NFL, they said that. They didn't have the injuries, but that's one game a week, not five and 7 nights. The NBA... didn't have those injuries, but even that wasn't as condensed. So you're right. It's something to watch for sure. Dregs, thanks for the time as always. It's been fun. Stay safe, my friends. Watch out for coyotes, and we'll chat with you down the line.
All right, Rod. Thanks for having me.
TSN's Darren Dreger, the pride of Langenberg, joining us here on the RP Show. We'll be right back with Viewer Takeover and a sports update. And also next hour, don't forget John Forslund from the NHL on NBC, when we go live to Game Plus Television, just named this morning to the number two crew of NBC. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. I told you, Darren always said our first hour is the one that's smoking all the time, right? Is there so much going on? And I wanted to read this text message from DG in Saskatoon. He says, morning all. Funny you mentioned Tino Sinceri already this morning. Rod, keep an eye out for him on the Alabama sideline tonight in the Natty. His trajectory as an assistant coach is supposed to be on the upswing the next few years under Nick Saban. Great to see the real Seahawks defense showed up on Saturday. Enjoy the day, DG in Saskatoon. Now, here's the thing. I had heard that Tino went to Alabama as a GA, and then I forgot about it and put it out of my mind. Whereas with Sarkisian, I followed him every season since he left here in 99.
Right.
But Tino, well, we weren't close. Tino wasn't close with anybody. That's just the way Tino was.
He was close with Tino.
He was close with Tino. Yeah. So good for him. But I'm not cheering for him tonight. I'm cheering for Steve Sarkisian and the Crimson Tide. And then after this year, it'll be the Longhorns. But people have often said, you know, they're trying to find a rooting interest in college football.
Yeah.
And I've said, pick Alabama because they're like an NFL team. They're on our cable every Saturday.
Right.
You don't have to fight to find them. And they're always going to be playing in the national championship. It's a pretty good place to start.
Life's good when you follow the Crimson Tide.
And Joe Namath's alma mater, and you can name a ton great ones. Joe Lazito, watching on Long Island. He says, the hoodie looks great on you, Rod. Just remember, if anyone offers you any New York Rangers gear, just say no. Well, I like red, white, and blue. I really do. I pointed out to you, I put the photo of this on my social media, and a Pats fan called me a traitor. I think I'm going to discuss this next hour when we go to Game Plus, but people need to get over this. They need to get over it. I won't have being called a traitor for wearing gear of the other teams, of traditional rivals of my teams, for a variety of reasons. I left my teams. They were splits. In a lot of ways, they were divorces. But you move on in life. I want to be friends. Doesn't mean I can't see other people. Right? And for me, it's the Saskatoon Blades or the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or whatever.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. You're free.
I'm so free. I'm on the sporting Tinder trying to find a match.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Plenty of fish.
I'm like, where are the entrepreneurs? Well, I'm it, but that's the app. What team are you going to follow and match with?
Make a match. There you go. Sports update. Pascal Siakam missed a go-ahead jump shot with seconds to play, and the Toronto Raptors lost 106-105 to the Golden State Warriors. Robin and Prince Albert says, friends with benefits.
Yeah, you get free
LOL.
Stuff.
Lot of benefits. Lot of benefits when you hurry yourself around. Les Lazarek is loving the hoodie today, says Jamie in Halifax. Anyways, despite the miss, Spicy P scored 25 points. Steph Curry didn't have as successful of a night and finished the game with 11 points. The Vancouver Canucks will hold practice today. One day after canceling their workout due to COVID-19, Vancouver was the first Canadian team to have their training camp affected by the coronavirus. Dallas, Columbus, and Pittsburgh also have their training camps interrupted. The NBA says they have no plans to pause their season after postponing a game between the Heat and Celtics due to COVID-19. Boston had 7 players unavailable due to virus-related reasons. Harris English needed a playoff to beat Joaquin Neiman at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Nick Taylor of Abbotsford, BC, finished at a tie for 29th. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. And we are into the credits already of hour one. Next hour, John Forslund from the NHL on NBC. And a lot more fun and frivolity. So stick around or join us right here on whatever platform you're on. Woo, that's sexy.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.